local business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. The Dow and S&P are both trading lower. We have got NASDAQ advancing up a point now at 61.17. Little change there. The S&P, NASDAQ, S&P and Dow both declining. S&P down 5 at 23.88, down 0.2%. The Dow is down 41 points. Gold up $4 the ounce to 12.28. West Texas Intermediate crude higher by 6 cents to 47.89. A gain there of 0.1%. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you so much, Charlie Pellett. It is time for the Bloomberg ETF Report, brought to you by BlackRock. Worried about market volatility? Minimum volatility strategies may be able to help. To learn more, please visit BlackRock.com/factors, prepared by BlackRock Investments, LLC. Here with the Bloomberg ETF Report, Bloomberg's Catherine Cowdery.
Most passive investing is really active. That's a word from Bloomberg intelligence analyst Eric Balchunas. He says all investing is ultimately active and rules-based. Double Line CEO Jeffrey Gundlach reinforced that view this month. He said passive investing is a myth, and people are blindly handing their money over to an investment committee they know nothing about. Here's Balchunas.
He's onto something here. Academics will tell you that true passive is taking all of the stocks and market cap weighting them. Well, nothing really does that. Even the S&P is only large caps. Then it's picked by a committee. And if you look at the S&P and you break down the holdings, look, it's 25% tech. FANG stocks went from 2% to 7%. You got a lot of momentum baked into the S&P. So I think he's right to question it all.
Balchunas says the real advantage of passive funds and ETFs is their low cost. And ETFs have an added benefit. They're more tax efficient than mutual funds. That's your Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Catherine Cowdery.
Thank you so much, Catherine Cowdery. This portion of Bloomberg Markets brought to you by Eisner Amper. When finding the right business structure or valuation or raising money or getting tax advice, life science entrepreneurs turn to the accountants and advisors at Eisner Amper. You're listening to Bloomberg Markets on this Friday. This is Bloomberg.
So be my guest. You've got nothing to lose. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise?
So we all talk about self-driving vehicles, but what about self-driving boats? And we're not just talking about autopilots, because we kind of got that already. We're going to talk about this, though, because our next guest knows an awful lot about boats. With us, Michael Johnson, CEO at Sea Machines, on-site at Mass Robotics in Boston. Welcome to Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks a lot, Carol.
Nice to have you here with us. Tell me what you guys are doing. And I meant autopilots. I'm a sailor, so I've got autopilot. So I understand how we've had that around for a while. It's nice. It kind of steers your boat, keeps you on course. What are you guys doing?
So you're right. Autopilots go back, you know, back to like the 1920s and such. So we're building autonomous self-driving control systems for boats. So it's basically an autopilot that takes feedback of the surroundings around it to take command of the boat and autonomously drive it.
Tell me what kind of industries you guys are playing into. I'm assuming like salvage and so on and so forth.
So yeah, it's a huge, you know, global market. But where we're focusing on initially is the commercial workboat side of it. This is kind of the emerging part of the market that we're targeting.
What kind of demand have you seen? I mean, how many vehicles are out there being used?
Well, this is very early.
How many are being tested then?
we have one in-house that we test, but in fact, we just purchased our second vessel. So for a year, we've been testing our alpha technology here in Boston Harbor. And now, like I said, we're going to be deploying a second vessel. And we're putting out our beta system, actually the autonomous control system, this spring. And the stage that we're at is we are signing up pilot customers right now, you know, commercial customers, to actually use our system as a retrofit kit on their existing work boats to then be able to, you know, operate them autonomously. And for our first customers, it gives them the ability to actually operate them in an unmanned fashion as well.
If I go to your website, you show the V1, the V2, the V3. Are these are the test vehicles, if you will?
So, yeah. So our core technology is the control system to help, you know, show this to the world. We have worked with a company called Jensen Maritime to develop some concept unmanned vessels as well. But really, our business line is providing these retrofit kits to existing vessels.
You mentioned Michael. We're talking with Michael Johnson, founder and chief executive officer at Sea Machines. How big of a market do you see this?
Well, you know, it is massive. I mean, the global maritime space, by aggregating a lot of various data, is a $1 trillion space from the expense side annually. And we're taking on a relatively small percentage of that initially with work boats, but it's still very sizable. Our first service addressable market, using that term, is about $6 billion right now.
What's it like, though? There are other companies out there, some well-established companies that are out there looking to do the same thing.
Right.
Is there room for many? Do you feel like at some point you're going to have to hook up and work along with maybe one of the bigger companies that are out there?
Well, yeah. I mean, so there are some very large conglomerates that work in our space, and they've been putting out, great technology over the decades. We have already been collaborating with Siemens. We're mm-hmm. we're working with their hardware and putting our software on their hardware. And, Siemens provides a very proven industrial PLC system that's used throughout our industry.
PLC meaning?
Programmable logic controllers. So that's used throughout our industry already. A lot of confidence in that product. And so it's our software running on their hardware.
I mean, I feel like it's a little bit safer on the water doing this than on the road. Fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so...
Or a lot safer.
We believe that the ocean is the, it's the perfect domain for autonomy. Besides space, the ocean comparably, is wide open spaces, relatively slower speeds as compared to cars, and not a lot of things running out in front of you.
What kind of regulatory concerns do you have, though? I mean, where will the regulatory environment play into all of this?
Right. So we're already.
Because I'm kind of amazed at the mm-hmm. amount of things you can kind of do on the water where mm-hmm. there isn't oversight. There is oversight. Don't get me wrong.
There absolutely is oversight.
But you can also do a lot of stuff on the water.
Right. No, I mean, so there absolutely is oversight. I mean, regulations in the space go, some of the earliest regulations going back to some of the, Titanic and such like that started driving them. The space, the regulators, they see this coming because our industry has kind of been a laggard behind,
right.
The air industry and now the cars. And so they see it coming and they're preparing for it. And they're looking for innovators like us to help shape those regulations. So we're working with and we've had multiple conversations with various levels of regulators in our space.
It requires a collaboration because it's safe to say that there's a lot of regulators that don't really quite understand how it all works and what it can mean. Michael, how quickly before you think that this kind of ramps up and becomes kind of commonplace out there? You talked about the market size. How long before it becomes kind of more commonplace?
I think the value of this type of control system will be readily perceivable, and I believe it'll take off very quickly.
In a year?
We will prove the value of our systems with our pilot customers, and we'll show the world. And from there, we think for sure. I mean, our industry...
For sure a year?
For sure a year, yes. We'll be selling systems in a year. But our industry, it's a very high revenue but low margin business. Companies are always looking for ways to improve their
right.
bottom line and improve safety, and that's what autonomous systems do.
From what I understand, you were the man who raised the cruise ship Costa Concordia. Is that correct?
I wrote the bid on that. I was a vice president at the company that won that project. That's right.
Will stuff like yours, systems like yours, kind of prevent those accidents from happening?
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's the thing with autonomy is right now we're talking about using it for small vessels, work boats, mm-hmm. using unmanned in an unmanned fashion, but going further with larger vessels, you'll use it as an overwatch system. It'll provide huge value to those ships.
Yeah, it's interesting. It makes sense to me. Completely makes sense.
Yeah.
Good luck. Look forward to hearing more about the business going forward.
Thank you very much.
Michael Johnson, he's founder and chief executive officer at Sea Machines, on site with us at Mass Robotics in Boston. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets. Carol Masser on this Friday, and this is Bloomberg Radio.